Fishing is one of my biggest passions that I pursue it from the time I was a little girl, maybe around 6 or 7.
At what point did you realize, right, now we want to take this a bit more serious?
I had a dream of doing it on an international level.
Let's talk about the funding. How do you get around that?
There you go, buddy. Hit now!
This is the Angler News SA Podcast. I'm Vanessa Green.
Hey guys, welcome to another Angler News interview. This time we are talking about what it's like to reach those colors of green and gold. Now, we all know we have ambitions as anglers. What we try to do is we try to get the biggest fish. Once we got the biggest fish, we try to be better than our friends. Once we're better than our friends, we aim for that club level. And when we reach that club level, we like to see how far we can go amongst the leagues and, of course, how far we are amongst the country's elite anglers. Which brings us to our interview today, where we are with two of South Africa's protea anglers, Safia and Hajra. And we are going to ask them a few questions about the angling, the journey, where it's come from, what it takes to put on these blazers, to use these colors, and to represent our country on the grandest of stages. So guys, thank you for joining us today. And let's start off with Safia. Safia, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. I am actually a primary school educator with staff there and department head at Wonder Academy of Excellence. And fishing is one of my biggest passions that I've pursued from the time I was a little girl, maybe around 6 or 7, and to date.
Fantastic. What about you, Hajj? A little bit about yourself.
Thanks all for having us on the show. It's truly another step to get us out there. So I am 26. I have a qualification in medical science. And I'm currently working as chemical oil lab analyst.
All right. So you guys obviously got full-time jobs, right? So let's get into the fishing. Now, I've heard you come from a bloodline of fishermen, right? Grandfather was a fisherman. I know your dad is a fisherman. Yes. What made you all get into fishing? What made you all decide we don't want to play with dolls or Legos or PlayStation? We want to go and fish.
So it started off as family outings to the harbor. Right. We used to go get some munchies, have a picnic, relax, and then have a few throws with our dad. And we used, at that time, you know, it was top bunk fishing, targeting pamphlets and black tails, and we had the time of our lives.
And around what age was this?
Early primary school, I'd say 6.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was 6 years old. And we've never stopped since then. And as we grew older, we started trying out different things, and the passion grew from there.
All right. So am I right in assuming that what kicked off the fishing bug was just going out with family? And watching your family fish and spending time with them. Dad's got a rod, like pass it, right?
Fish and pass it.
Good. Great. Okay. So we're fishing with the family. We're having fun. We're growing up fishing. At what point did you realize, right, now we want to take this a bit more seriously? We want to break out from just being the weekend angler. We want to know more. We want to learn more. What was it that fueled that? Was it something that just triggered? How about you, Hutch? Tell us about it.
So one thing for me that stands out is I've used to bird kingfisher a lot.
Okay.
And
awesome.
One of our mentors up to now was Ray. And every time we went to the store, we were so excited to go and speak to him because we used to watch his videos and his tutorials and try and follow what he's doing.
Right.
And one day I got there and he spoke to me and he's like, hey, join me for some shark fishing.
Right. Whoa.
And,
okay.
That was like the next level for me because he introduced us to fishing for inedibles.
Okay, so is it when you got hooked onto the shark? That's when you knew, right, this is
so
it. This changes the game now.
That took us towards this whole new world of competition angling and club fishing. And, you know, we actually never knew it was on such a level.
Right.
We never knew it was national, it was international.
Yeah.
Because we were still quite young.
So were you chasing the whole thing of, I want to catch more sharks? Or were you chasing that, I want to learn more so I can fish more?
It was to learn more. I haven't caught an inedible before I went down to the lake.
Right.
He introduced, it was just edibles for us. We used to do mostly artificial fishing in the harbor. And, fishing off the boat in the harbor, things like that. And I caught my first inedible with Ray.
What was it?
It was a gray shark.
Yeah? And which beach was this?
The shark beach.
Okay. So tell us about this journey now. All right. So you go out. You catch the shark. You've never had tackle for shark before, I'm assuming. at this moment, how do you decide now, okay, I want to take this seriously, which you obviously have decided after catching that shark. What are the steps for anyone that goes out now and catches that shark and realizes, okay, there is a lot more to fishing than just going and doing our drop shots in the harbor? Let's start off with the journey. Choosing a club, choosing the people you hang out with, and the discipline that it might involve in fishing.
So as our social circle grew with Inedible Fishing, we made a lot more friends.
Right.
And from there, the people that we fished with thought that we had a lot of potential to grow
okay.
and to learn and to improve on our fishing skills. And we were introduced to a Reunion Angling Club. So that's the club that we joined. And we're actually still part of the Reunion Angling Club, and we do fish for them.
Okay.
And we represented our club at the national level as well this year.
Yes, more or less the same. So ideally, when you decide that you want to join a club, it doesn't have to be to pursue competitive angling, like purely for competition for nationals. You can join a club to learn, to grow.
Yeah.
Because there's so many anglers in the club. Some are so experienced, some are juniors, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have development officers, things like that.
Right.
So if you're new to fishing, you can still join a club because
there's
so much of opportunity to grow, to fish different areas, you get to learn new tips and tricks,
right.
new traces. You can share with everybody like what you learn and what works for you, what doesn't work for you.
Absolutely.
And from there, you can go up to nominating yourself to fish on a national level.
Okay.
And you have to go via your club to do that.
Yes. So when you joined this club, that was the end game, to go and fish at a national level? Or was it more, we just enjoyed this and we want to fish with a whole bunch of like-minded people?
Yes. So we joined initially to get a feel of competitions to develop ourselves. It happened very quickly. It was over a few months where our club suggested that they nominate us for nationals.
Okay.
So when we joined, we didn't join with this goal of fishing on this huge platform. It
right.
just happened so quickly. We grew so quickly. And the opportunity for nationals came up. Mm. And we said, why not?
Okay. I mean, you're obviously young girls when you got into this, right? Were you the only girls in the club? Were there a few other female anglers that you were fishing with?
So when we joined, we had another angler that joined with us and an existing new female angler.
Okay.
But it is a very, it's not well developed on the ladies' end of things.
Right.
There's very few females that come into the sport.
So that's what I wanted to touch on. What are the challenges if you're a female angler fishing in a club? Or that doesn't even matter. I mean, it's just purely open. Everyone sees you as just another guy or just another angler. Yeah.
So it is a huge challenge. Firstly, you have to be very strong-minded as a female because it is a male-dominated sport. You know, we have very few females come in it and stay strong-minded and willing to stay in it, considering that it's so male-populated.
Okay.
So there are a lot of challenges because physically you cannot outcast most men.
Well, that was one of the things I was aiming at. I mean, like I said, we're all equal, but like we got physical strength, the wading, you know, the casting distance.
There are a lot of instances where you fish competitions. Like our competitions throughout the year, men and women are ranked on the same ranking. We don't have a ladies' division and a men's division. Only our nationals and our international tournaments that are separated.
Yeah.
It is quite a challenge because sometimes you fish competitions that are 5 hours and 8 hours and you could be the only two females or a few females amongst most males who are catching fish far away over the bank and you are just standing there and, you know, you have to try to reach that distance and it's difficult. It comes.
Okay, but then on that line, would you prefer to have a female category to compete against ladies?
I think it would be nice in the sense of having more females be willing to join.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do understand that it will look challenging for females who are not already in the sport to come in and, you know, have a look at this ranking and say, but how can, you know, we have one ranking. They may hold back a bit. But I also do feel, personally, I feel being on the same rank, it makes me push myself. And I'm sure Saf feels the same as well.
Yeah.
It makes you push yourself and eventually it makes you a better angler when you are on that national and that international level.
No, 100%, because that's what, you know, obviously we had a lot of people were thinking, who should we interview for this when it comes to going out to get your South African colors, right? And there's a lot of names, obviously, we all in the same industry. But when your names popped up, I thought, okay, well, now this is perfect because y'all are fishing amongst the boys. Y'all fishing in the same conditions. Y'all fishing with the same elements. If it's 8 hours of rain, y'all standing out 8 hours of rain, you know. And if you're hungry in 3 hours, you're hungry as the next guy in 3 hours, you know. But surely, as impressive as it is, there are those challenges.
Being females in the industry and reaching an international level actually gave us a platform. And before we got there, we became ambassadors for Daiwa and Kingfisher, and we were the first female ambassadors. That created another platform and exposure to reach out to other females, because Hanj and I, you know, we kept thinking about how do we get other girls involved in this? Like, how do we show them that they can do it? Yeah. And I personally can say when I started my first competition, I couldn't wade. And I couldn't I couldn't cast over the bank. And several years later, it took, I mean, and that's the best part of the sport, I think, the perseverance and grow. And, you know, it took a lot of practice and practice and practice after work and late into the night. And we finally reached the stage where we can wait and we can cast. And, you know, it's a process. And we want those ladies to reach out to us. And, you know, we want to mentor them. We want to grow as females.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
No, so ladies, you can do it too.
Of course. Well, clearly, we got two ladies in front of us using their green and gold, of course. Now, the other challenge, we're all aware of this as anglers. So just as a normal weekend angler, fishing can be at times very expensive. Obviously, we know at club level, pricing to travel, to buy your tackle, buy your bait on a weekly basis or second week or whatever it is, can be expensive. And then now raising it up to reach the pro tier level also can be quite challenging, right? So what I'm wondering is, how did you guys achieve your funding? I know you do have your salaries coming in, but you obviously got other commitments like everyone else. And you got the same challenges guys have when we go in and represent in our country. How do you get around that? Let's talk about the funding, because we know fishing is a self-funded sport. Mm-hmm. Right now, I know you guys got your ambassadors. We're going to touch on that just now, right? But with regards to the other expenses, you've fished Italy, you guys fish Namibia, you get invited to Spain, everywhere, right? Which is beautiful and glorious, but someone's wallet is going to get affected.
So when I got the opportunity to fish the project side in Italy to represent South Africa, I was overjoyed. I was over the moon. I mean, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Mm. However, the biggest challenge, like you've mentioned, is the finance.
Right.
We actively reach out and we try to get sponsors before each tournament, like before the nationals, before the internationals. However, it's not often that anything comes through. And we have gotten sponsors, we've gotten the tackle, and, you know, it's a little help here and there, which goes a long way. Mm. But majority of the cost and the expense came out of my pockets.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, we're adults now, we're working, so we're saving.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, when am I going to go to Italy to fish?
No, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And my heart earned money and savings, and I think I'm going to use it for this. But then we fished the nationals again, and we got selected. Again, and it's Spain this year, and it's Portugal next year. So,
all the bonus money has to go into that.
We have a lot of work to gather our finances and to reach out to sponsors.
Yeah, because I think surely when we're going out to look at sponsors, they're like, yeah, of course you can have this reel, this rod, this shirt, whatever. But that's not going to go and pay SA Airlines to say, well, you know what, can I exchange my ticket with this rod and reel? No, I get you. Okay, so moving on now. Back to the sponsorships. Were you getting sponsored prior to becoming pro tier anglers? How did the sponsorship develop? Was this as you were getting recognized in the industry, as you were posing with sharks, or did the sponsorships only start flowing after you got the blazers on you?
I did try for sponsorship approaching our nationals, but it has been a little bit shy. So definitely recognition has grown ever since we've gotten our green and gold.
Yeah.
You know, really did take a lot of work to get there. And once you're there only, then people mostly, you know, look into what are you doing in the sport? You know, you actually growing, you're doing it.
Yes,
then
absolutely.
Only is it actually people realize that, you know, it's huge and it's tremendous though. So it's definitely only being recognized on a larger scale once we've got our program.
Okay, so it was a bit of a grind to you. Get that Daiwa shirts and rods and reels. So guys, now that you are pro tier anglers, we've heard your hardships, we heard the struggles, we heard what you compete against. What is the end game? Where are we heading with this? What are your ambitions right now? I know we're trying to bring up the female anglers. Mm-hmm. How about we start off with Safia? Where are we heading? You've got the blazer. Is it how long you keep it? Is it you tell me.
Okay, so I am fishing two facets. For the surf casting facet, my ambition is to travel the world and fish the world. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want opportunities like that?
Absolutely.
And I also fish the rock and surf facet, and I haven't attained a blazer in that facet yet.
Right.
So the ambition there is to work my way up the ladder,
yeah,
get a white blazer hopefully, and then work my way to a green blazer.
Wow.
And I have my sister, yeah, here to mentor me for that.
100%. How about you, Aja?
I also do fish both the facets, and rock and surf has won my heart. It always, yeah, will have it. And the surf casting for me is still a little bit, I'm still getting into the few of things. The staff's going to help me out on that one. You know, we're going to exchange. You know,
yeah.
We have the upper hand on either one. So for me, my goal was when I was selected for my first camp, I did not expect it. I fished as hard as I
could. But surely you knew you were up on the rankings on your club levels, on the leagues.
So on the national level, I did have a fairly good ranking. I was in the top 10 for my 3-year ranking, but that was my second year.
Okay.
So I did have this goal to wear green and gold, but I didn't expect it so soon. I was expecting the white blazer.
Yeah.
And I fished as hard as I could have ever fished. I remember it was the third day of the tournament when I woke up. I could not even open my eyes because of the sunburn.
Wow.
So I really, really fished hard for it.
And yeah,
when I was called, I almost couldn't believe that it was me that was called up.
Yeah.
So that did take me by surprise. And essentially the goal once you are on the team is to stay on.
Right.
Because that's where the true challenge is.
Exactly. Consistency.
Yes. Being consistent is a challenge. Maintaining a 3-year rank is a challenge. Being in that top 10 of the 3-year rank. It's difficult because you're fishing alongside such talented females that are in the sport for years on end.
Sure.
You know, you learn so much by just having a conversation with them.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the time when you speak to some of these ladies that I've fished with are here, you know, they're like in their 40s, they're in their 50s, they're so, you know, they're not young ladies, not girls, and they're so experienced. And most of them are on the team for years on end. So my goal is to stay on the team as long as I possibly can.
Right.
But I would also eventually, when I do step down, I would like to mentor other females to take that place. Because we don't have that sort of development and that sort of mentoring for females. To tell them, you know, you enjoy fishing. Why not dream of doing it on an international level? Why not have this opportunity to get someone to train you, to mentor you, to tell you this is what it takes, you know, one kind of thing.
Okay. So
personally, I would love to see other females.
Yeah.
When we do speak to ladies, they tell us, you know, it's like, how do you even do this? So ultimately, that would be my goal.
Okay. Before we round off, for the guys that are trying to do it, the ladies that are trying to do it, the kids that are trying to do it, how about some advice? Something for those that are aiming to wear what you wear?
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give is perseverance. You know, angling is not an easy sport.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go onto the beach and catch a fish every day. But to go back onto the beach the next day and try again, that's the important part. Perseverance, developing the skill and thinking out of the box. Sometimes your chase is not going to work. That bait is not going to work. You know, you gotta do some unique combinations.
Yeah.
Try some 3-hook chases, you know what I mean? So thinking out of the box and perseverance.
All right. How about you, Hajj?
I think also it would be being able to have a strong mindset. Because a lot of the time when we step onto the beach, whether it's social fishing or tournament fishing or an international platform, you could be standing amongst anglers that are catching so much of fish. And you could be doing the same thing, the same distance, the same bait, same chase, and you could not get that bite. Being able to train your mind and discipline your mind, to take that as, you know, it's not my day, it's not my time, but not lose hope, not stop trying.
Yeah.
keep at it, keep trying, keep growing. And when it's your turn, you're going to be that person standing there catching next to Sadhu. Hopefully not next to somebody.
Well, in your competitive level, I'm sure.
It's been a huge factor that we've learned.
Mm.
We have fallen short. We have been despondent on the beach a lot of the time. And it's one thing that we remind each other of, especially we try and fish together whenever we fish. Even if it's a tournament, we try as much as we can.
Yes.
And it's one thing that we always remind each other. If it's the national, if it's, you know, whatever it is, just like I would just know her body language if she's despondent. And, you know, we try and remind each other, just keep at it. It's going to come. Don't.
That is so awesome.
It's all in the mindset. Wow. You know, your energy has to be positive all the time.
Oh, now that is a perfect way to end this. Thank you so much for joining us. So to our audience out there, this is what it takes to become a Protea angler. We've got it from Hajra and Safia Ahmed. Guys, if you've got any questions, please drop it in our comment section. Let us know what you'd like to know about. The girls are more than willing to help, not just the female anglers, but anyone. Juniors, guys, myself, I get advice from them all the time. And in fact, prior to the show, we were chatting about a few things. And are we fishing on Saturday? Yep, we're fishing on Saturday. I'll be getting some advice from them as well. So, yeah, this is our Angler News Show interview with what it takes to use that green and gold blazer. Guys, always remember, please subscribe. Next week, we are going to be talking to Jace Governor, where we are going to be talking about what it's like or how do we catch a 300-kilo shark. Now, Jace has over 10 under his belt, and we would like to know how. I certainly would. I'm sure you would as well. So make sure to hit that follow, subscribe button. And guys, please give us a rating and let us know in the comments what you think of the show. Until next week, I'm Vanessa Green. This is Angler News South Africa. Always remember, keep your fishing area tidy, respect your bag limits, and fish for the future.
This is the Angler News SA podcast. I'm Vanessa Green. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Let's fish for the future.